Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for making it possible. We depend upon you. Without you, we can do nothing. But through you, we can do all things. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with Jesus Delivers Us, number 11. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about factious people. Factious people have divisive and slanderous spirits in the political and religious realm. Titus 3:10 says, a factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. If this is not obeyed, their demons invade the person who is listening. That's the way it works. We've watched it for years. Now, here's a very good exhortation. We called it Break Ties with Factious People by A.T. And A.T. is addressing a friend who is in faction and how they have to separate from them. Recently, I was vexed with a severe trial. This sickness was so bad that my body had been rejecting, via severe diarrhea, almost all nutrition. I had terrible pain in digestion. My body had been getting progressively worse and weaker. My muscles were bearing close to no strength. And as I took my daughter to school this morning, my legs were shaking while I walked. They felt like they could barely hold up to walk and then even to sit on the bus. I have never in my life experienced such illness or discomfort. I had been seeking the Lord for answers and praying for healing, but the weight of this sickness had just seemed to intensify with no relief. It wasn't from lack of sleep, lack of hydration, or poor eating habits. Heading back to the bus from the school drop-off, I was seeking Jesus for mercy. I was asking him for help getting on the bus. My legs felt so weak, like they were going to buckle underneath me. He said, "Dee and have set a trap for some." This is the person that she's addressing, okay, in this revelation. "You see, Dee, I heard about you leaving fellowship a while ago. At the time, I had many questions myself. Thus, I never completely let go of you. My mind kept reverting back to when I last saw you and thinking how much I love you and your pleasant family. Understand that I was not told by any man about your spiritual condition. Even upon hearing about you leaving and falling into faction, I still did not take full heed. My thinking was, well, who's right? But this word came through the Spirit of God, a voice without any bias or influence of man. God continues to confirm to me the righteous standing of the ministry. It is indeed a refuge for God's loving souls. But D, times are changing. When the Lord warned me, he also instantly healed me. My strength returned. I felt the Spirit of God touch me and heal me. I felt demons leave from my heart and through the top of my head. This deliverance happened the moment I heard the Lord's warning me about staying in contact with you. As I type this letter, I am totally healed. I feel such clarity now. The Father has told me to break ties with you completely, lest the sickness return. I wish it didn't have to come to this, but you need help. Please call upon the Lord. Ask Him to reveal the truth to you before time is lost. He loves you, but cannot tolerate hidden sins within His sheepfold. I am no different. If I bear any iniquity, then I must repent. So it is with anyone. God is no respecter of persons. Please, my brother, I bring this forward in love, and God loves you so much that He allowed me to get very sick. This was so that He could speak to me in the reason, and then heal me. He did this for you to see the truth for yourself. Just think about what the Lord has done here. Please do not deny the cross of Christ. The Father's voice through His Son is calling you right now to return and be healed. Well, that's very interesting. Next, I'm going to let this person, SS, share this dream that we call Invasion of Stupid Demons, Part 2 by SS. I will first read the entire dream and then break it down with the interpretation. We all of UBM and then some are in a huge warehouse. And tables were set up for a pot blessing. David was sitting at the head of the table where I was sitting. On his left were MH and then SS, JS, and DL, and ML. And on the other side were TC1, TC2, a man I didn't know, and other UBM members. And TC1 said, "Hey, SS, remember that stupid dream?" And I said, "Huh?" Putting his thumbs in his temples and waving his finger like wings, he said, "You know." He was mimicking the stupid person, right? "That dream was so simplistic and to the point. You need to tell it," said TC2. David agreed, saying, "Yeah, tell it." TC1 added, "Quiet, everyone. SS wants to tell a dream." And someone said, "Stand up." So I'm starting to tell the dream. And in the first part, I'm telling how I was praying. I'm also hearing a conversation that in the natural, I should not have been able to hear. The first conversation I overheard was, "Don't you ever get tired of praying for the same thing over and over again?" A critical conversation, right? And the second conversation was, "These dreamers, who do they think they are? They probably don't even hear from God. They're all liars. I'm so tired of hearing their names." The third conversation was, "I don't really have to confess my sins to anyone. God already knows them." And the fourth conversation was, "I'm so tired of hearing about the latter rain. Yeah, yeah, it's coming. They don't know what they're talking about. Let's see if it falls today. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle." And the fifth conversation was, "I hope when she finishes, we're not going to sing a whole bunch of songs. It's the same songs over and over, and I'm not raising my hands." The sixth conversation was, "Don't you think they look like a bunch of imbeciles jumping and dancing around? That's fake." And when I heard all that, I turned my head and saw a walrus, rats, wolves, and mockers. I was so grieved that I actually bit my lower lip hard. I turned and looked at David. He said quietly, SS, stop this infiltration. Pray now. So now let's look at the interpretation of part two. We all of UVM, and then some, are in a huge warehouse. People are associating with UVM in this large warehouse because that's our ministry. The warehouse represents larger UVM out there, right? And tables were set up like for a pot blessing. David was sitting at the head of the table where I was sitting. And on his left were MH, and then myself, JS, DL, and ML. And on the other side were TC1, TC2, a man I didn't know, and other UBM members. And TC1 said, hey, SS, remember that stupid dream? TC1 was talking about the one we just shared with you in part 10 teaching, the invasion of the stupid demons, part 1. And I said, huh? Putting his thumbs on his temples and waving his fingers like wings, he said, you know. That dream was so simplistic and to the point, you need to tell it, said TC2. David agreed, saying, yeah, tell it. Well, TC1 added, quiet, everyone. SS wants to tell a dream. And someone said, stand up. And this is so that everybody could hear SS more clearly. So I'm starting to tell the dream, and in the first part, I'm telling how I was praying. I'm also hearing a conversation that, in the natural, I should not have been able to hear. Well, by a gift of the Spirit, she was hearing conversations that were going on beyond her hearing. What she was hearing were thoughts and words coming from demons who were exposed in part one, but were being expressed by the rebellious associating with UBM. These demons were seeking to separate people from each other and from God by factious thoughts. If we don't want to be taken by the devil, we need to cast down vain imaginations from the accuser of the brethren. We are offered demonic thinking all of the time through our thoughts. And if we cast them down, there's no problem. They can do nothing with a person who won't depart from the word. But if we entertain those thoughts, then the demons gain entrance. And when a person starts rebelling against the word, entertaining thoughts that are wrong against others, taking up a reproach against others, and so on, demons enter in because they have a right. The demons have been given a legal right by God to torment the person who is in rebellion against God and is unforgiving towards others. The first conversation I overheard was, don't you ever get tired of praying for the same thing over and over again? Demons want to discourage us. If a person does not repent and believe the first time, they must pray again. But Satan would hinder them. Sometimes we do not have to pray again because we got out of faith and we became double-minded. In such a case, the Bible says, James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we go back and pray again, because the Holy Spirit says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So if we become double-minded, we have to go back and pray and pray until that unbelief is gone, and God's gift of faith comes. As long as you are walking in faith, remember that Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received, literally, them, and you shall have them. He desires that you would always pray by faith. His desire is that you pray just one time and receive it. But people can be unsure of what to ask or what God wants to give. And when they can't speak in faith, God offers this second way. And that is Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Generally, this ends up where God gives you a gift of faith, and then you can make a stand. You know you have received, as Jesus commanded. Many of the old-time preachers taught only this form of prayer, and they called it praying through. In other words, pray, 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 pray till you feel faith, right? They prayed until they got faith. And then they stopped, knowing they had received their answer to prayer. Demons want to discourage you from continuing to ask for things that you don't necessarily believe you've received. They do not want you to endure until the end to see your faith manifested. They do not want the answer to come. So, continuing, and the second conversation was, these dreamers, who do they think they are? They probably don't even hear from God. They're all liars. I'm so tired of hearing their names. Well, when people fall into faction, they no longer believe in dreams. That's a fact, because they always rebuke them, right? And as you know, dreams straighten people out by revealing those very demons. So they have to mute the prophetic voice, because it destroys them, along with their words and works. That's one reason why demons put these thoughts into your head. Persons who become critical receiving those thoughts are accepting these demons into their minds and hearts. And then they want you to believe them too, right? All of these ploys are an attempt by the demons to destroy your spiritual warfare ability against them. They want to mute you. The third conversation was, I don't really have to confess my sins to anyone. God already knows them. Well, that sounds spiritual to some people, but in reality, it's just rebellion. The Holy Spirit instructs us, James 5:16, confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. So do it because God says, confess your sins one to another. Don't listen to the demons. They want to talk you out of doing this because this is where you get delivered from your sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you keep cleaning up this trail behind you with confession of sin regularly, things don't build up to open a door for demons to take you out. Get into the habit of confessing any sin. Get a partner, you know, that you trust in, you know, that's not a gossiper, of course. And trade confessions, you know. And being cleansed of all unrighteousness is important because that's what He promised if you would do this. And the fourth conversation was, I'm so tired of hearing about the latter rain. Yeah, yeah, it's coming. They don't know what they're talking about. Let's see if it falls today. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. There was a time in our church whenever I talked on the latter rain, a storm of rain would hit the roof. Everybody would hear it, and it happened consistently over and over and over. People that were in our assembly at that time were amazed because God was confirming the latter rain. Yes, He was. There might not have been a cloud in the sky, not one, but the rain would fall on that roof so hard it would be loud inside the building. Yes, scoffers listen to unbelieving spirits and repeat what, in effect, may be their future. If they don't repent, they may have a future without the latter rain. And it's bad enough to think something, and it's even worse to speak it. The latter rain is coming, but it may not be coming to such people. The devil obviously wants to inoculate anybody that he can from the latter rain and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some people are afraid of manifesting anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. But there's no reason for us to fear the Holy Spirit. Religions put that in people. He will give you peace and joy and power. So who put all that fear in their mind? What is it in them that is afraid to have the Holy Spirit? It's those demons. The demons make them afraid to have the Holy Spirit by telling them they'll look funny to the world and be rejected. They are in bondage to these spirits, which don't want the Holy Spirit in them. These spirits will war to make sure you get what you fear. And if you give in to those thoughts and don't stick with the scriptures, this is what will happen. And if you justify your fears instead of justifying God and His word, then you're going to have what you fear, as Job said. And the fifth conversation was, I hope when she finishes, we're not going to sing a bunch of songs. It's the same songs over and over, and I'm not raising my hands. Why do we sing? Why do we raise our hands? Read Psalm 149 and 150, which are a command from the Lord to praise Him in these ways. The Lord says He takes joy in this praise, so we do it for the Lord. But anybody who is bound up by demons and afraid really can't get into singing and raising hands. It makes them miserable to do that. Why? Why would a person feel miserable about people praising God with all their heart? It's because of the demon inside. The demon makes them miserable. Demons don't like the worship of God because the worship of God is powerful to set people free from demonic and human bondage. and those who love him will praise the Lord with joy. But it's the demons that refuse and fear this praise. Psalm 147 and 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Well, amen. It's a good thing to sing praise to the Lord. Isaiah 38 and 20, "The Lord is ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." That's why we sing praise and do these other things too. I'm not raising my hands, quote unquote, that demon had said, but the lifting up of hands in praise and prayer is commanded. Who are you going to obey? Who is it that doesn't want you to raise your hands? 1 Timothy 2 and 8, "I desire, therefore, that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing." Don't argue with one another or criticize. Just lift up your hands, pray, and praise. Psalm 63 and 4 says, "So will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Psalm 134 and 2, "Lift up your hands to the sanctuary, and bless ye the Lord." So, it's in the Bible. But maybe you've been letting the devil talk you out of God's command to praise him. And again, why is the devil so afraid? During praise, the demons are miserable. And they'll try to make you miserable. Because people get set free in the midst of praise. The Holy Spirit comes on them, and the demons start coming out of them while they're praising God. Seen it happen many times. The sixth conversation was, "Don't you think they look like a bunch of imbeciles jumping and dancing around? That's fake." Yes, the demons certainly wish it were fake. Psalm 149 and 3 says, "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp." And Psalm 150 and 4 says, "Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe." Jeremiah 31 and 13, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy." Well, that's a great promise. So go ahead and dance, right? "And will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow." Praise the Lord. Now, let's read what God says to those who hate dancing before him. 2 Samuel 6 and 16. "And it was so, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart." So she wanted him to be dignified, right? And I say sometimes in the assembly, now don't get dignified on us here, you know. 2 Samuel 6 and 20, "Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself.' And David said unto Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above thy father and above all his house to appoint me prince over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will be yet more vile than this, and will be base in mine own sight. But of the handmaids of whom thou hast spoken, of them shall I be had in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Oof. Her punishment for persecuting him for dancing before the Lord was that she bore no fruit. But the latter rain anointing will come and set many people free. Joel 2 and 23 says, Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So they'll be free to worship God as he asks, because John 4 and 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Have you ever seen people worshiping just because everybody else is doing it? You know they're not, it's not really coming out of their heart, right? God knows it too. God seeks such to worship him, and who would not love him for all that he's done for us? The Lord is either saving these people or he's weeding them out, so that a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump, like in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 and Galatians 5 and 9. Do you remember the mixed multitude, quote-unquote? Exodus 12 and 38, Numbers 11 and 4, Nehemiah 13 and 3 speaks about them. They were the ones who were part the people of God and part Egyptian. They were a mixed multitude. And they died in the wilderness, Numbers 14 and 30. They couldn't go to the promised land. We still have the mixed multitudes in our churches today, just like when the Jews came out of Egypt. And they're still a stumbling block, Exodus 17 and 3, Numbers 14 and 2, 16 and 41. And if you are someone who is afraid to worship God freely, don't deny the Lord by denying his word. We've just looked at what God commands. Read his warning. Romans 3 and 3 says, For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? In other words, he can give you everything, right? God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and might prevail when thou comest into judgment. God sees your heart. He knows if you have these unjustifiable words against his word. And the reason that you don't join in is because your heart is just not there. So confess your sins and forgive everyone from the present time all the way back to your youth. Forgive everyone so that the Lord may forgive you. The Lord will empower you to be as you should be, an obedient servant to these words. The Holy Spirit is soon to be poured out in a miraculous way to set the captives free. He's going to empower you to walk under the blood so that you may have a Passover of the death and destruction which is about to come upon this world. People who are bound up by demon spirits need to be set free. That's why the Holy Spirit is given. So don't deny the Word. Don't deny the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be in a church to pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will set you free, and you'll enjoy being free. One of the biggest plagues in this country is that people are bound up by rejection and fear of rejection. John 8:31 says, Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So do not deny the truth, the ones that we've just shared especially. You're denying the Lord if you deny the truth, and listen to these lying spirits. Instead, justify God and confess him before men. And when the time comes, he will pour out his spirit on you and set you free. So back to the dream. When I heard all that, I turned my head and I saw a walrus, rats, wolves, and mockers, considering the people who made those comments, right? I was so grieved that I actually bit my lower lip hard. I turned and looked at David, and he said quietly, S, stop this infiltration. Pray now. In other words, pray to stop the infiltration of demonic thoughts that hinder people from receiving what God commands. In effect, these demons are stopping people from receiving and taking God's word to heart. But when God says to pray, he plans on answering, right? To confirm the dream, she got Romans 8:8 and 9:14. These were from the Lord by faith at random. Romans 8:8, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You want the Spirit of God to dwell in you so that you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit? And yes, those people who are dancing around and praising God are in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has set them free from their bondage. I admit that some people do probably put on a show, you know, but it's because they're free that they're actually able to do that. Some people are so drugged down by fear of rejection that they can't get out of their seat. Better to be free. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, it goes on to say. And when you are born again, you receive the Spirit of Christ. And then you invite the Holy Spirit to come in, like Christ had in his Spirit. See? So, in other words, after you're born again, you invite the Holy Spirit to come into your now clean temple, your Holy of Holies, the place of the presence of the Spirit of God. Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if you're born again, the body might be dead, but your spirit is alive. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, this is the Holy Spirit, right? And this is not the same thing as your spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You can see the people who have life, right? You're afraid of that. You know, you can picture yourself doing that and you get afraid because of fear of rejection, right? Now you have life in your body. Praise be to God. It's a blessing to obey God and be filled with his Spirit. But if you're bound up, you need to ask him for mercy. Romans 9:14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that hath mercy. Ask God for mercy to be what you need to be, right? And one of the prayers I've seen God answer the quickest is to ask for his mercy. It's something we don't deserve. It's an unmerited thing, but he answers it quickly. James 4 and 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. These binding spirits make you proud, and then you don't want to humble yourself before others, like David did, and you don't want to bow before God. James 4 and 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, the scripture saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We all need grace. It's the unmerited favor of God, right? A proud person needs to repent before they can receive. Romans 9 and 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise thee up, that I might show in thee my power, and that my name might be published abroad in all of the earth. Pharaoh wasn't going to let God's people go from bondage. This is just like a lot of demons that keep God's people in bondage. The demons don't want to let people go. So then, he hath mercy on whom he will, verse 18, and whom he will, he hardeneth. If a person is stubborn and self-willed, the Lord may just harden them. Humble yourself before God. Confess your sins before him. Now you know what kind of worship God expects from his people. And now you know what kind of prayer God expects from his people. Humble yourself before the word of the Lord, and don't deny the word, or you may never see the Holy Spirit. Okay, Romans 9 and 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he still find fault? For who withstandeth his will? Well, yes, it's better to cry out for mercy, right? And verse 20 goes on, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why didst thou make me thus? Or hath not the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So it's not wrong to ask God to make you into a vessel of honor. It's not wrong to ask him to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not wrong to ask him to work in you a will to pray the prayers that you should pray. You should humble yourself before him and ask for his mercy in giving you the Holy Spirit. Romans 9 and 22 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory. So think about these vessels full of God's mercy. Can he do it for you? Well, that's the whole nature of mercy. Yes, he can do it for you, and you don't deserve it, and you can't talk him into it, but you can humble yourself before him and ask, because he gives grace to the humble, right? Verse 24 goes on, even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call that my people which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. Even if you thought that he didn't love you, God can do that. Romans 9 and 26, and it shall be that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called sons of the living God. Wow, so that's what mercy can do for you. Humble yourself before God and ask for mercy. Ask people to pray for you. Don't try to fight this battle on your own. I'm not saying that you can't win it on your own. I'm just saying to ask for help, because that's humbling. And confess your sins. That's humbling, right? In fact, if you confess your sins and you see that God expects you to confess your sins, you're much less likely to sin again, because you know you'll have to confess your sin. So a lot of people get answers because they're just humble enough to ask. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Yeah. Romans 9 and 27. And Isaiah crieth concerning Israel, if the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. And as Isaiah has said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had become as Sodom and had been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Well, after dreaming the invasion of the stupid demons, part two, SS asked the Lord, what is it going to take to get these people focused on you? Her finger landed on Matthew 27 and 54. Now, the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So there's some earthquakes coming that are going to cause great revival and bring a fear of the Lord to God's people. They would never think such a thing could happen in America, because it's always been so insulated due to God's grace. But he's going to bring a lot of people to repentance. And what's the answer here to the question SS asked? The answer is the crucified man-child and his resurrection to the throne. Praise be to God. So, God's going to cause history to repeat on a larger scale. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you do miraculously. We ask that you send revival and set the captives free. Give us revelation about who it is that's speaking so foolishly in our minds to turn your people away from the truth. If or when we are victims, Lord, let us know why. In your mercy, Father, reveal to us when we're proud or unrepentant, stubborn or self-willed. But you came to save us, Lord, and we ask and thank you for salvation, and we ask for your mercy and grace, and we humble ourselves and ask, Father, please pour out your Spirit. We see people who need and want you, but inwardly are afraid. And the psalmist David said in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Lord, put it in our hearts to seek you for doing this thing. Deliver us from all of our fears. Father, for those who are captive to Satan's fear, have mercy. Send your faith into their hearts. Speak to them in dreams, visions, and words from Scripture. Encourage them to put their trust in you, Lord. Let them know that you will set the captives free. O Lord, fill them mightily with your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit will empower them to walk contrary to Satan and his demons and all their words in their ears. Your Holy Spirit will enable them to kick the devils out. Thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing for your people in these days, and thank you for your Son's work on the cross, and we are already victors. Thank you for helping us to live the victory. Now let me share this testimony with you by SD. Son Set Free from Devil Worship by SD. When my son was 11 years old, I had a dream that I saw him on one side of a large bottomless hole. I was on the other side, barely hanging on to my wife with my right arm while she was inside the hole. And then I saw a large snake come at him from behind. But he fought it like a great karate fighter, blocking every attack. And then he grabbed it and swung it around his head, and around, throwing the snake down the hole. And then I saw this fight. I got 10 times stronger. With my right hand, I pulled my wife up and out of the hole to stand on her feet with ease. For 15 years, he became a devil worshiper, that son, right? He called himself a pagan, a vampire, and a wizard. I would get reports, but I'd always say, yeah, but I had that dream. He's going to beat that snake. His sisters said he told them he wanted to kill me, but I would say, nope, I had that dream. And then they said he might go to jail. And I said, well, if he does, he'll get out. And I had that dream. He would walk around with long fingernails and wild hair. He would break tables and glass with his bare hands. He sought after the dark book of knowledge, quote unquote, as he called it. This year, he beat that snake. He quit all that pagan worshiping. At the same time, I found your website. Now I'm 10 times stronger with more wisdom and knowledge than I've ever had in my life. And now my son and I are friends. I gave him my Bible and some of your site's teachings. And I asked the Lord, how did all this start? How did he get so carried away with the devil? We had raised him in church all this life, all of his life. And the Lord answered, saying, it was the comic books. Yeah, they make something evil look good. TV too. Yeah. And then I remembered he did have a fascination with them. I had wanted to say no, but everybody had said it was okay. As his father, I had to repent for not keeping him safe. I should have foreseen the evil in them. I apologized and told him, "Son, it was the comic books. Please forgive me." Demonic thoughts can have the same effect. More or less, every lost person has the same problem. The cure is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, quote unquote. Our computers have a virus called sin. It must be thrown out by knowledge of the Word of God. And so it shall be, if we walk by faith, even so that we don't see it yet. It will come to pass. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. That puts you in the rest. It takes the pressure off of you. It puts it all on the Lord, and the Lord can handle it. Take my yoke upon you, me. Okay? So, thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for grace and mercy being poured out upon the brethren. Many people see their need, but they don't know you're so anxious to meet that need and give your grace and your mercy to them. So we thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.